Well, good morning. Thank you for joining us today as we outline an incident that occurred early this morning in downtown Columbia. The Columbia Police Department responded to a shooting in the area of 5th Street and Walnut at approximately 3 a.m. During this mass casualty event, two officers fired their weapons. CPD will provide more details on this event in just a moment. But first, I want to recap what has been an otherwise normal weekend in Columbia, Missouri. A group of faith leaders and not-for-profit leaders and elected officials met on Friday morning at the Source Summit to develop community solutions to community problems. We welcomed thousands of MU alumni and South Carolina fans as the MU Tigers had a competitive football game. And then we celebrated that victory with our families in downtown Columbia last night. But all of that was interrupted once again by senseless gun violence. Our community has experienced multiple incidents of senseless gun crimes over the past several weeks. And this is deeply concerning for both our city government and our citizens. We're joined today by leaders of our community, including President Mary Ratliff and Pamela Hart and Valerie Shaw of the NAACP, Nikki Davis with the Downtown Community Improvement District, Reverend James Gray, Second Ward City Councilperson Andrea Wehner. You know, our community must come together to denounce these crimes. As a city, we know that we must do everything in our power to stop gun violence and support our police officers in getting guns out of the hands of criminals. We've taken steps to provide additional security downtown. Beginning this weekend, the Columbia Police Department implemented a plan for additional enforcement, including increased patrols in an effort to increase safety. Over the last 2 weeks, we've met with the MU president, Moon Choi, the MUPD chief, Brian Weimer, members of the downtown district, business leaders, to address these issues. We had officers present at the time of this morning's shooting, and they took immediate action to intervene. The city and the Columbia Police Department will continue to work with community partners like the University of Missouri and the district to improve safety. This is a community issue. And it's imperative that all of us, including our residents and business owners and city leaders, work together to address this issue because no one entity can do this alone. And it has to stop. I want to ask Chief Jeff Jones to come forward and tell us what he can about this incident. And while he does that, I want to convey my appreciation to the Columbia Police Department. Their presence this morning saved lives. They rendered trauma care to the victims, and he will provide us an update on the actions that led up to this incident and what happened afterwards. Chief.
Good morning. Today, November 14th, at approximately 3:03 a.m., Columbia police officers intervened in an incident in progress at Vibes Lounge, 19 North 5th Street. Their intervention resulted in the death of a 30-year-old black male, and his next of kin has been notified. I want to reiterate that this happened at Vibes Lounge, not inside of Vibes Lounge. Here's a timeline for what took place. At approximately 3:03 a.m., officers were in the immediate area of Vibes Lounge, as well as other parts of downtown, managing crowd dynamics and monitoring overall safety. Officers heard shots and observed two people engaging in gunfire. One of the suspects fled from the scene on foot to the north, and their whereabouts are unknown at this time. Officers also saw a male running south on North 5th Street and firing his weapon north into a crowd of people. The male rounded the corner, turning west into the alley. Two officers gave chase and fired their service weapons, killing the man. Within 30 seconds, the Columbia Police Department asked the Missouri State Highway Patrol for assistance. By 3:04 a.m., emergency services were en route. And by 3:05 a.m., officers notified Boone County Joint Communications that they had located five other victims injured by gunfire. Officers assessed the victim's condition and started providing trauma care. All of these victims are in stable condition at this time. Missouri State Highway Patrol is conducting an independent investigation of the two involved officers. This is our consistent practice. The department's internal affairs unit will be involved, consistent with our procedures, and the two officers will not be working the street during the investigation. Our criminal investigation division is collecting evidence and investigating this mass casualty incident. It concerns me deeply that I have to speak about a mass casualty in Columbia, Missouri. We will follow every lead to determine how this transpired, and we'll do everything necessary to prevent further incidents like this. I just want to get away from my prepared remark for a minute and tell you that this is Columbia, Missouri. All of the people in this room care about each other. They care about the community. Our community shows a lot of care and concern for each other. And we continue to have incidents like this. We can't arrest our way out of it. And I need people to get involved because we can't have people that keep shooting each other. I can take questions. I'm not going to do that at this time because the Highway Patrol hasn't authorized that yet.
Can you tell us, in the past, you've talked about how a lot of these gun violent incidents have been involved with people from out of town more than people here in town. Is that the situation again last night?
I know that one of the people is from Columbia. I do not know about the second subject. They have not yet been identified.
On Friday, when it was announced, the new partnership with the district in downtown and MUPD, part of what you said kind of leads up to some of these events are incidences with people gathering downtown, traffic congestions, or alcohol-related incidences. Was that the case in this shooting, or was that not the case?
We saw two people involved in an active disturbance who began firing at each other.
In the past 2 months, there's been five shootings in the area of Vibe Lounge. Is there any talk of shutting the place down?
I'm not in charge of shutting a place down, but I will tell you that I am going to be laser focused on Vibe Lounge.
I was just going to say, I know there's usually like a police presence kind of outside of Gold Bar. In the Fieldhouse area, usually when I'm downtown, either working or just walking by. But we had a shooting right in that area last week. So kind of what does, you know, the police plan to do going forward when some of these shootings are happening in areas where there's already a police presence?
And I think you kind of hit the nail on the head there. The police were present at the Golden Bar shooting. The police were present at the shooting last night. So this isn't a police-only issue. This is a community issue that is going to take responsible business owners, responsible community partners, and that's in the district and outside. This doesn't just happen downtown. As a matter of fact, this is pretty out of the ordinary. That's why it's drawn so much attention. But we need people to work together to get to where we need to be. Part of this is that people have gone to guns instead of fighting. And you're a young lady, so you probably didn't experience this, but when I was young, people used to fight. Now they pull guns on each other. And I think it's an act of cowardice. Honestly, it infuriates me that people have to pull guns on each other to solve an issue. What next?
Chief Jones, you know we can't arrest our way out of this. What is the department doing? And I understand this might be a larger picture issue, but what is the department doing to help fix this problem?
We do our part. We bring people together. We have relationships with people that people don't oftentimes recognize we have relationships with. We do work that isn't law enforcement work regularly, but we do the law enforcement side too, and we're going to do our job. And our job means if you're going to go out and shoot at somebody, we're going to lock you up. I've said all along that we're going to pursue people who prey on other people, and we're going to keep doing that. And I will tell you that our homicide clearance rates are much higher than they were 3 years ago, and the number of homicides is half of what it was last year. And that comes with there's a reason for that. And that's because we're going to keep coming at these people as long as they prey on other people. And we're not going to stop. That has been evidenced by us going to a landfill and recovering a body after 13 years, going to a river and excavating it to find a victim of a homicide. We are not going to stop. We will keep coming and keep coming.
Let me follow up on that question, because the police are doing their job, but it takes the rest of us to do their job. And you know, look, in both of the incidents that you described, the property owner is not necessarily the business owner. We have a zero tolerance model for when it comes to residential apartment leases. If there is gun violence on that property, they're out. And I think it's time that bar owners and their property owners need to have the same zero tolerance policy. These are 5 shootings at Vibes. We've had multiple shootings up the street, and everybody needs to take part of their responsibility to get these folks out. Because if there's guns and alcohol and students, that's a potent cocktail that doesn't mix. And we're working with the university to make sure that we're addressing the common denominators of drink specials, over-serving, underage drinking, and you know, it takes all of us working together to make sure that we're bringing some of these issues to bear. Our public health director has described gun violence as a public health issue. And look, if council needs to give the public health department the tools they need to go in and perform safety and health inspections, if you're creating an environment where people are getting killed and hurt, we're going to shut it down.
Can you just explain and describe more about what you mean by everyone working together?
Look, both of these cases had police officers on the scene running towards gunfire. And I don't know how you get more brazen than that to disrespect law enforcement. Not just disrespect our laws and disrespect our community, but disrespect the presence of police officers in that area. And that's why I'm so proud of the work that the Columbia Police Department have done. They put their lives in danger every day for us. We knew after last weekend's shooting that there is always this potential. I'm not saying the two are connected by any means. I'm saying the environment exists now with Missouri's gun laws. And if you want to talk about working together, we need to address the Second Amendment Preservation Act that prohibits local law enforcement from working with the federal ATF to make sure that federal felons cannot possess handguns. Because we had a joint violent crimes task force that was addressing this. We had Columbia police officers that were deputized, and their hands are now tied. And I think part of what we're seeing here is the consequence of that. Zach, you good? Yeah. President Ratliff, thank you for being here, by the way.
I know that there's a lot of rumors going around as to, but how soon, maybe this is to the chief, how soon are we going to know who those victims are, who were injured, and who the person that was killed, who that person is, so that we're not speculating and, you know, how soon will we know that?
I need to have a conversation with the Highway Patrol and see what their level of comfort is with what's getting released. It's all closed record until they tell me it's not part of the investigation anymore. As far as the people at the hospital, I don't have that information. I did just learn the victim's name that we killed, but I'm not with that. The Highway Patrol is investigating that part, and I'm not comfortable releasing it yet. Just like with any shooting, as soon as it becomes open record, I'll release it. As we've talked in the past, I've probably released things in the past that maybe I probably shouldn't have, but I do try to err on the side of releasing more rather than less. So you have my word that when I can get it out, I'll get it out. I don't know when that is yet. I don't have a timeline.
Zach Wood with ABC 17 News. Chief, you, me, and the mayor met on Thursday to talk about crime in Columbia specifically. Hours later, the city put a press release out saying that the CPD, along with the district and MU, we're all going to work together to help curb violence in Columbia. Do you feel like that initiative helped in this situation, and how?
I don't know that I understand your question or how it's related to our Thursday conversation. Our Thursday conversation was a lot about the mayor's task force on violence. And I explained to you and gave you several examples of how the city has partnered with other people to meet a lot of the things in that report and meet with a lot of the partners, some of which are here today, to meet and further those conversations and goals and make changes, since that report is from 2014, that are more relevant, more important today than maybe they were back then. So the relevancy changed, and we continue to have those conversations. Do I know whether it prevented something else downtown? I think the officer presence for most people probably is a deterrent. We were dealing with traffic and crowd dynamics. If you've been downtown late at night, you'll see cars standing, stopping in the middle of the road, people getting out of their cars and sitting on the hood of the car on Broadway. We're not allowing that anymore. That creates to that atmosphere that the mayor talked about, and we're dealing with that. You don't know what you don't know, so I don't know if that prevented something last night. I hope that it would, and I'd say that it's best practice.
Chief, you said that the suspect was fleeing after shooting at another suspect, and so the other suspect wasn't caught, but this guy fleeing, was he shot fleeing, or?
He was running away from the person that he was shooting at, but he was shooting back at the crowd indiscriminately as he was running. So both.
So he wasn't shot in the back or nothing?
He may have been. I don't know the answer to that.
Okay, that's what I mean. You know, it's always going to be a question, you know.
Right. But, whenever, you know. But honestly, and we've had this conversation before, you can fire over your shoulder and get shot in the back.
And the other people, there was nobody else killed, but it was like...
Correct. We had one person go into emergency surgery that I'm aware of, and that's another thing I should reiterate. This is all preliminary information, and it could change. I just wanted to get as much information out as I could. I do know that one person went into surgery, emergency surgery, but all five of the other people are stable.
Okay. Thank you.
Really take a look at the time frame of all of these shootings. Common sense tells us that there's nothing out after midnight. At 3 a.m., there's nothing out after 3 a.m. but trouble. We have had shootings after 1:30. A lot of our shootings have happened after 1:30. Nothing out. The one down on Broadway, I looked at that, and if there wasn't an officer there and what this guy unloaded, we could have brought out so many more body bags. And one of the things that I really commend is what you're trying to do to bring us together, because it's going to take all of us. We just had a ceremony last night, mothers with broken heart. We had two mothers there. I had a detective there who explained all of that. This mother of this 30-year-old, for whatever reason, have lost a child. Five more people are shot. Some of the questions we asked are crazy. But we got to get to the bottom, because if we don't get to the bottom, then there's going to be so many more events happening here in our city. And guess what? We need to start holding ourselves accountable. Every single one. We need to hold ourselves accountable. And you could either be part of the problem or part of the solution. So if I may, Jeff, I want to address this to the media. We got to start showing positive light that we are trying. That we're trying. And guess what? The same officer, detective that was with me last night, I saw him this morning, who has not had any sleep. And that's what we need to look at. How do we do this together? Black, white, yellow, green, or blue?
Thanks, James.
Chief Jones, can you clarify what definition your department goes off of for a mass casualty event? What's the number?
Anytime where we have multiple victims at one scene and we're calling for multiple ambulances to go to a level one trauma center, it's a mass casualty incident.
And
I don't have a definition for you. That's my take.
And then the one victim that had emergency surgery, are they a part of the five total victims, or was that an additional victim?
That was part of the five total.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was just wondering if there is any regulation that happens when these businesses are open to determine that there is adequate and appropriate and properly trained security, and does that happen just for businesses per se, or is there a requirement even when someone is, say, renting or leasing out a property just for one isolated event? Because this is not like the first time there have been mass casualties in Columbia. On September 5th of 2015, I believe there were four victims. My daughter was one of them in a mass shooting here in Columbia, Missouri, but that happened at the VFW. So that led me to ask, not just in ongoing businesses, you know, someone who is leasing or renting to establish a business, but also for isolated, just one event. Is there any regulation that has to happen through the city, or is that something that is just up to...
Good question. First, let me say thank you for sharing your experience with this room and with me. And I'm sorry for the impact that this has had on your family. I want to address your, I hope your daughter is doing well. You know, one of the things that Chief Jones and I realized in September of 2019, when we had a similar spike of gun violence, is that gun violence begets gun violence. And survivors of shootings often become shooters themselves. And that's when we talk about the community coming together and intervening with trauma panels and victim counseling and everything that goes on with it. As Reverend Gray indicated, you know, this is not just about, you know, that victim and our community's loss of human potential. It's about the family and the mothers, and I'm grateful that you're here today. I know that's not easy. Regulations. To my knowledge, we do not have any type of municipal ordinance that requires any type of training for bouncers, any requirement for security. There is a food handler's permit. The bars also have a voluntary bartender training, responsible server. And in the last 2 weeks, Chief Jones has met with the downtown CID and the bar owners downtown after a series of complaints and concerns and emergency room calls to strengthen oversight of bartenders and how they spot underage drinking, how they spot over-serving. And I think that should be extended to bouncers. Look, if you're a bar owner and you think you need a bouncer with a handgun, that's a problem. And I think we need to take a close look at that either through municipal ordinances. And we can either shut down two bars or we can have no drink specials, 12 o'clock closings, 11:30 closings for everybody. And I don't think people want that. More importantly, I want people to feel safe in this community. Whether it's at 3 a.m. in the morning, whether you're going to an outdoor music concert or to a movie theater or out to dinner downtown or walking home from dinner to the Broadway Hotel, we shouldn't have our lives interrupted by gun violence. And it's that simple. And that's the type of zero tolerance that I'm going to adopt as a policymaker that this police department has clearly adopted. But it's going to take property owners, insurance companies, and it's going to take some peer pressure to shut down bad actors that are allowing this to happen. Please, Mary. Oh, I'm sorry, there's one more right in the back. Go ahead. Here, you've got the microphone, go ahead.
Okay, so Chief Jones, you had mentioned getting more community involvement, I think you said, reaching out with the community more for them to get involved.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
So I've been hearing that for many years. Where is that at now? What stage are you at? Where are you at with that?
We've met with faith leaders.
With getting into making sure the community is getting involved, and where are you at with that now?
So I'm not going to mince words. I'll tell you that even though I've taken that initiative to be a partner in that, it's not solely my responsibility, nor have I ever taken responsibility for that to be my responsibility, and I don't today. I don't want to mince words, as I think everybody can tell. I'm on fire today. We have reached out to just about any group, person who would listen. We've asked for ideas. We've asked for collaboration. And COVID, granted, did shut us down a little bit. But I have cops out on the street making connections with neighborhood watches, with kids at school, with different Kiwanis clubs, Rotary clubs, you name it, we go. And I do it myself, and the officers are now doing it themselves. So we're making those connections and those partnerships like I promised. But if you've been around me for very long in a meeting and people just talk to talk, you will hear me say at the end, what's the next action step? And I do that regularly. Sometimes that rubs people the wrong way. I'm okay with that. But I need other people to step up and start saying, okay, what's the next action step, and hold other people accountable. This is not a policing issue anymore. This is a community issue. And we're going to be involved as partners, but that doesn't mean that we can always take the lead. I don't have the resources, the money, or quite frankly, the expertise to stop all of the things that are happening that lead to violence. So that's where we're at today.
I just wanted to say that when they're asking about, how, because of community involvement and where do we go from here? And I just would like to share with you, I know the mayor was there yesterday morning. Yesterday, something very special happened in Columbia that I have wanted to happen for a long, long time. Dr. Lester Wood called together a source summit, and I met African-American entrepreneurs in the city that I didn't know existed. And because I'm Baptist, I met other people from other denominations, churches that I was not aware. One of the things that happened at the end of this meeting is Dr. Wood called those pastors up, and they gave a commitment that they would work with us, work with the community to try to curb this violence. And I know that Dr. Freeman, Reverend David Ballinger, Dr. Lester Wood, and all of those people called those pastors to the stage, and they gave their commitment that they were going to work with us to make this community a better place, and that we were going to look at the violence in our community, because some of it, and I share with people all the time, it doesn't matter if the bullet that killed a person came from the police gun, or whether it came from someone else's gun, your child, your relative is just as dead, okay?
That's right.
So we have a responsibility as a community to come together, and that was their commitment to us yesterday. And there were lots of people there, as the mayor is aware. There are lots of people there from a lot of different areas. So we are going to be stepping up, calling on those people, and we do need to work with the police. We do our inquiry, and Jeff knows that. We will be looking into what happened. But we are here to make this community a better community. We ought to have people that can go out. When I was a young person, we went to parties until 1 o'clock. There were places open. We went out. It was routine, you know. There was a group of us. It was routine. When we left the party, we went out to have breakfast. You ought to be able to do that without getting shot up. And so we are going to be working. Our commitment is that we're going to try to bring the community together to say, we've got to stop this violence in Columbia. And that is our pledge from the NAACP, is that I don't know what happened, don't have all the particulars of what happened last night, we will find out, but we know that we want to make sure that our people are able to go out, our young people are able to go out from the University of Missouri when they have a game here, they ought to be able to go out and have fun without fearing for their life. And that is not the case now. So we are making our pledge that we are going to work as hard as we can in this community to make it back the kind of community that we want to live in and we want our children to live in.
And thank you for your partnership and everything that you've done for me personally and for us. So we'll continue that, but we have to keep the momentum going. But I truly appreciate that.
I have two questions, but my first question was, you know, when I have spoken with the police before and talking about community engagement and everyone coming together, so what can the common person or the local citizen in the area at the times of the shooting, what can they do? Is there any, you know, are you kind of looking out to those people to also help when these shootings happen?
One is cooperate when we show up. We have business owners that don't cooperate when we show up. We have witnesses to shootings when their friends are getting shot, when they themselves are getting shot, who don't cooperate. And it's not because we're the police. It's because it's a sign of weakness to snitch. These people are shooting people and killing people in our community, and they don't want to say anything. That's what people can start to do. If you see something, say something. Be a responsible citizen, period. There's a whole lot of reasons that people don't talk to the police or whoever. I get it. People are dying. There are other organizations, NAACP, the CID, that are begging for people to come up with ideas to help places be safer. Get involved. There are people in this room that I've had very long and strenuous debates with, but we always come out better after the conversation. Get involved. What was your second question?
Can you talk a little bit more about your frustrations with the Second Amendment Preservation Act?
Yes. We have had partnerships with the ATF, the FBI, the DEA. You can put just about anyone in the alphabet soup, and we've worked with them, and we've done very well. We were and are addressing violent crime with a group of people who are dedicated to stopping these press conferences, and they were very effective. Databases like NIBIN, where we track shell casings. We're trying to find a way to where we can do that for state cases and not federal cases. The truth is, people move from place to place. They don't just shoot here. They shoot in Jeff City. They shoot in Sedalia. They shoot in St. Louis, Kansas City, you name it. And right now, we don't have the ability to track between those places. As I've said before, I'm not a politician. Maybe I should care more about politics. But when you make laws that take away the ability for people to partner to stop criminal behavior, a lot of people should stand up and take notice, and they should fix it. I'm not the person to fix that. That's my personal opinion. I'm not speaking on behalf of the city for my personal opinion, but that's how I feel about the Second Amendment Preservation Act. I have come in here over and over and said I protect the Constitution of the United States.
It doesn't mean people have the right to go out and shoot people and get away with it.
I guess I've got a statement more than anything, but I lived in Nashville, Tennessee for about 3 years, and it was during my younger days, so I was out a lot going to the clubs and things. One of the things that I noticed was being out down there, when you arrived at a specific location or club, there was security in the parking lots. So when you got out of your car, you were safe. You could not sit in your car. You could not hang out around your car. If you were coming to that event, when you got there, you had to come in or you had to leave. One of the things that I've noticed in Columbia is we don't have that. Maybe that's something that we as a city need to implement. If you are opening a bar, that you have some trained security that is also outside of your facility that's able to regulate individuals that are sitting in the cars outside of the location, either come in or you have to leave. And so a lot of the shootings and things that are taking place outside, that could be eliminated or at least reduced if people knew that when we get there, we can't hang out there. We have to leave that area. So we might need to do something to where if I'm opening up a bar downtown, then I'm also required to have some trained, licensed security before my doors can be open. And I do think that will give us more of a sense of ease when we go downtown, if it's done in the right and proper way. So that's just a suggestion.
I appreciate that. I'd assume that the mayor and the councilwoman are listening.
Just a quick comment. Maybe 10, 11 years ago, when I was working downtown, there was a real push from the city, I believe, for business owners to have cameras outside their businesses. And they're expensive and all of that, and I get that. But maybe it's time to do that again. And also, if the downtown district, for example, might get the owners to help provide cameras for the alleys and make them real prominent. You know, don't hide them. Let people know that they're being filmed and that, so that, you know, I'm thinking about this person who ran away and ran up the alley or whatever you said, that maybe a camera might help you to catch them, because I'm thinking, you know, if they're willing to shoot this morning, they may be willing to shoot tonight as well. So I know that that's a priority for you to catch them. And I don't know the details or whatever, but I had a son who was a policeman. So I'm probably very partial to the police in a very, in a pro way. So I just want to thank you. You know, if the details show us something else should have been done, we'll address that. But I really want to take the opportunity to thank the Columbia Police.
Thank you.
Real quick, can I just say this? I want to thank my mayor, because my mayor seems like he's, I don't need that. My mayor seems like he's everywhere and all of this. And this is what I'm going to say, and I don't mind for you people that want to run for mayor or run for the city council. My first floor of city council is not even here today. And I'm angry because a lot of this has happened in the first ward, and she's not even here to leave responsibility, accountability on the rest of the people. It's up to my first ward city council to be working with the district very close, because she's made a commitment to serve this ward, but not to be here for any of these action is not right. And the only way that we're going to get this, I don't care if you're first ward city council, second ward city council, fifth ward, is our community.
Chief Jones, I know that you mentioned you have some business owners who aren't cooperating with the police. Is the owner of Vibes cooperating with the police?
That's a conversation I'll have with him.
And the second question would probably be for Mayor Treese. Is there any talk or speculation of possibly revoking the liquor license for Vibes?
I think all issues are on the table, and obviously there are administrative actions and due process that has to take. But, you know, with five incidents, and this is not just new for the last month, this has been ongoing for years. With that, I think all options are on the table, and if the current ordinance doesn't allow us to do that, then we need to change it. And that's the type of zero tolerance approach I'm willing to take as council. I think the property owner can do that. I think the insurance company can do that. This is clearly not a safe place for his customers or the community or police officers.
Yes, I was just curious if there are any city-based programs, because someone had mentioned, you know, trained security guards, any city-based programs that help train bar owners and business owners about, you know, safety and violence, how they can curb it and prevent it, and also if there are actually any security guard training programs that are easily accessible for business owners.
Yeah, and I'll let Jeff address that, Chief Jones address that. I think my recollection is there's some license for private security.
Right, so I'll address the first question. And we talked with bar owners, and they actually took it upon themselves to start providing training within that bar group. I don't know who's taken it yet. But what we have focused on mainly is over service of minors. Over service in general leads to a lot of problems. Over service of minors is an expounded set of problems. So we have focused on that. As far as security guard training, the city has, and again, I'm going to just speak frankly with you. The city has an ordinance where we have to give them basically a permit to be an armed security guard. It's outdated. I think it was written in the 70s or 80s. But Missouri law has changed, and people can carry guns. So that's outdated. It used to be you couldn't conceal a gun. But that has changed. There's no training that goes with that. We check to make sure that they can pass a test, a written exam, and then they have to go out and qualify with a gun. That, in my mind, is not training. That is a check. It is my opinion that that needs to be overhauled. I do not believe that it's the city's responsibility to train security guards, but they do need to be trained, and something needs to be put in place to hold them accountable. I'm willing to work on that project, but again, I'm not someone who legislates. I enforce what's there. I make recommendations when I can. I'm thankful to this council and the city manager who've been very willing to listen to me when I get on fire like this. But to answer your question, there is no training for security guards that the city mandates.
Yes, my name is Orville Fair. I'm actually the owner of Vibes Lounge. I came to this meeting today because I spoke with Jeff on multiple occasions in his office, you know, at Columbia Police Department, about coming together with the police so we can, you know, eliminate some of these problems that we are having on the street. Again, it is a public street, you know. Like he said, Missouri is an open to carry state, you know, so with guns, so people can keep, you know, have guns in their car, anywhere. So, again, issue doesn't happen on the inside of my bar. Let's get that straight for one. Issue doesn't happen on the inside of my bar. Issue happens on the streets. I talked to Jeff multiple times. What can we do so my staff and CPD can get together and try to disperse the crowd? You know, he said he's going to come up with something. We never really came up with anything. I just met with a chief of police, like I say, 3 months ago. You know, I say roughly three months ago, trying to build a relationship with the police officers that's running our area or whatever to eliminate issues. When people leave my place of business, you know, I can't control what happens down the street. I don't want anything to happen to anyone, you know. Life is a precious thing to have. I have five children. I don't want nothing to happen to anyone. I do my best so no issue doesn't happen. But I can't control what happens in other parking lots that's not even connected to my building. You know, I went to the business owners of them of the parking lot, of the Tire Plaza and of the banks, trying to come up with a solution to eliminate people hanging out on their parking lots and, you know, all the littering going on in their parking lot, just trying to de-escalate all of that. Tire Plaza, they was willing to work with me. The bank wasn't willing to work with me. So I'm in a situation now, it's like, how can I keep getting blamed for stuff that's happening on, you know, the city of Columbia grounds? I'm not responsible for anything that happens on the city of Columbia grounds. My insurance deadens at my door. You know, that's why I was willing to do something with Jeff Jones to move the crowd down to work with him. I haven't really got that help from him personally. I don't know what's going on. I know he said there was low on officers. A lot of the issues that we having is the officers don't know how to communicate with the community. Yeah, I mean, so when they're out, you know, they're distanced from the community. You know, they don't get out talking to people. They only come around when there's an issue and they use force. You know, and that pushes the community away from them instead of communicating with them and building a relationship. So I think that's things that, you know, everybody need to work on. You know, CPD, you know, building a relationship with the community. I remember when I was younger, we had officers like Mike Hayes that, you know, people in the community loved him, you know. So I think everybody's looking at like, hey, it's, you know, a downfall on Vibes. No, you got to look at the whole situation. Because if that's the case, why is the stuff is not happening on the inside of my place of business? It's happening on the streets.
All right, so I'm going to address this frankly like I have everything else. You can mischaracterize our conversations all you want, but I said it's your responsibility to keep violence out of your bar. I've also sent police down there and been told that I'm targeting your bar. I've been told that I've been targeting your bar when I tape off the parking lot next door. Mr. Gray sent me a text on your behalf because you complained to him. He's here somewhere or was. So this isn't just Jeff Jones not working with you. I've met with you several times to try to get you a spark something to get something done. Do I think we can all do better? Absolutely. But this last night shooting happened at your front door. Your doorman got killed in your front door. And then when we went over there tonight, you kept asking the officers when we were going to leave because it didn't happen in your bar. It's not your responsibility. There's no evidence. And someone went into your bar after they got shot. There's blood evidence in there. So stop. Let me talk. So when the officers are there and you care more about us leaving because it didn't happen inside your bar, that is part of the problem. You came a little late. I told people out here it happened at your bar, not in it, and I was very clear about that. So we can go back to the misinformation you put out before that I had to come back and do a community briefing to correct. We can do all of that over again. But just tell the truth, be upfront about it. Can respond to you, Zach. It doesn't have to be here.
So I did have one more question, and I wanted to know, is the city or the city manager planning on doing a crime intervention program?
There is money allocated for a crime intervention program. Council and some members of the community want to have more input on that. I don't think we can wait any longer. I've been advocating for it. We need to intercept this violence. We need competent, trusted interceptors to work in the community. But look, I want to be clear. We have laws. This police department is going to enforce those laws. There's also plenty of jobs. There's plenty of opportunities. Yes, since June, I've been calling for a behavioral crisis center so that those who are at risk of endangering themselves or others have 24/7, 365 care. I don't have any evidence that this is part of any that would have prevented anything that happened last night. So yes, there are plenty of opportunities to intercept violence, but first we got to put the fire out.
Thank you for being here today.